when you can pick up, you know, players like PJ Markeef and Kyle, you know, really savvy veteran players that are talented, and you know, put them in this kind of situation where they're, I think, motivated, I think we did the right thing. Reminds me a little bit of what we did with Shaquille and Dwayne in 2006. You know, when we lost in the sixth game to Detroit in Shaq's first year, and I felt that we needed a little bit more medieval, you know, type of mentalities. You know, guys that have, you know, guys that have shields and swords and axes and stuff.
When Pat Riley speaks, people listen, especially us here on the show. We love when we hear Pat Riley speaking. But we have Eric Reed joining us now on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, television voice of the Miami Heat. As the Heat get ready to start their season, Heat Live starts at 7 p.m. tonight. Tip-off for Heat Bucks, 8 p.m. on Bally Sports. Eric, good morning and welcome to the NBA season. How you doing?
Hey, doing great. Excited about not only the Heat's 34th season opener, but mine too. And I know there's some folks out there in Heat Nation that have been there for the whole journey.
That's great. You know what? I always forget, Eric, you're such a young guy.
He's a day one.
I can't believe you're going strong, my man. What have you been doing all offseason?
Well, doing what I always do in the off season, just being a normal human being and a father and a husband and doing my best to stay fit and be ready.
Staying healthy, staying away from you. That's what he's doing.
No, I never get called for tennis or for the basketball.
For a good reason.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like, hey, when Brightline starts going from Boca to Plantation, I'll be there, Joe.
There you go. I like that.
Eric, stay away. Don't do it, Eric.
Yeah, Joe hurts me too much.
We just went over it. We already did it.
Right. Metal bleachers and his soft touch in tennis.
Right.
He's the Charles Oakley of tennis. Big guy, soft touch.
Right. You know, we will never let you open a can of tennis balls ever again.
Can of worms, can of tennis balls, what's the difference?
Unbelievable.
Hey, all right, enough of that. Let's jump into the team, man. Kyle Lowry, what have you seen in with Kyle so far just in the preseason? Up-tempo, but, boy, it just seems like the guy's really juiced to have the guy with so much experience and still a fireball, man.
Joe, we got a quarterback for the Heat who's one of the best veteran point guards in the NBA. You know, it cost the Heat Goran Dragic and Precious Achiuwa, but I don't think there's anybody that would second-guess that deal, even before a regular season game is played. No slight to Dragic, who, you know, earned his spot in the hearts of Heat fans forever with the way he played and how much he cared and how much he gave. And Mario Chalmers was a point guard on some of Miami's, you know, best-ever teams. But in my opinion, I think Lowry is the best floor general quarterback, point guard that the Heat have had since Tim Hardaway ended his career back in 2000-2001. It's been that long, and those guys, Joe, you in football and in basketball, same deal. Hard to find the real quarterback that does make teammates better. So in Lowry, you not only get a guy that can distribute and hit ahead and push tempo, something Coach Spoelstra's been trying to do for years. Now you got a point guard. You've heard the term Kyle Chaos. Well, there were some preseason turnovers. There may be some early season turnover issues, which could be costly. The Bucks are a team that turned it over only two times in their opener, eight turnovers in their opener against Brooklyn for 2 points. So that's what helped them win that game. But listen, Lowry going to push tempo offensively, and like Hardaway, gets his teammates involved first, and if the game calls for it, he can chime in and score as needed. Plus, he's the sort of the head of the snake on defense. He's tremendous on the ball. He's a real warrior, led the league in charges taken year after year, including last season. So on both ends of the floor, I think Heat fans and his teammates are really going to enjoy having him lead the way.
Yeah, I love the offseason additions that the Heat made, but I want to go to the two guys that probably got the most criticism at the end of last season at the way the season ended, Jimmy and Bam. And we got to talk to these guys, on Heat Media Day. And let me tell you, I just see like a different kind of fire in Bam's eye a little bit. Maybe the Olympics, maybe it was just the offseason, maybe it was the first time he was really criticized after that playoff series. But Jimmy and Bam just seem like they're on a little bit of a mission to have a comeback year after that horrible taste in their mouth the way that the playoffs ended.
Yeah, Zach, all of the above for Bam. I mean, I think, you know, the disappointment of the playoffs, you know, his rebounding numbers were down a little bit, but he had a very good year. I mean, 2 years in a row, second team all defense. He's still an emerging, improving player. You heard Pat Riley's comments, called him extraordinarily improved. The confidence is off the charts. His leadership is at a different level. And Pat said the other day that he sees him as a flat-out scorer who can also make plays. I think, you know, the addition of Kyle helps everybody.
Right.
But the two guys that I think of immediately, the moment that deal was made, was Jimmy and Bam. So much was asked of them last year, not only to be your primary scorers, but they were the primary ball handlers and playmakers. And while they can do that, I think they're better off, and obviously the Heat feel the same way, they're better off if they're your secondary ball handlers. You need more than one, but not primary. It's too much. So now you got a quarterback that's going to get them the ball in the right places and spaces and make the game easier for them. Listen, Bam can outrun, you know, basically everybody that guards him. He can outrun them. And you know what makes big guys run faster, Joe and Zach? A point guard that gets him the ball on hit ahead. So you're going to see Bam at his best in transition. I think he'll get two or three dunks a game in transition. We'll be a better fast-breaking team. For Jimmy, you know, give the Bucks some credit. You know, they were NBA champions for a reason. Their length with Lopez and Giannis and Middleton and Bobby Portis, who's starting this season injured, they had a lot of big bodies and long defensive bodies to throw at Jimmy, and they got the best of him. He struggled in that series. And, you know the kind of competitor that Jimmy and Bam both are. I think they're both ready for, you know, great years. Jimmy and Kyle are obviously close. Listen, of all the teams, you know, there's so much talk about the culture that is real for the Heat. I think of two teams in my mind in the first 34 years that fit the culture best. The 96-97 Pat Riley Road Warriors, you guys remember that team with Zoe and Timmy and P.J. Brown and Marley? I mean, that team fit the culture, right? This one does, too. You heard Pat, the medieval mentality, defenders, warriors, competitors, winners. You got three players that represent the last three champions on this year's roster, and Lowry, who won it with Toronto, Markieff Morris won it with the Lakers, and PJ Tucker, who was a very useful role player for the Bucks championship team last year, the guy they used to guard Durant.
Right.
That tells you a lot. I can't wait to see who Spo uses him on tonight. I'm thinking you're going to use that new defensive toy on the best player in the game right now, Giannis Antetokounmpo, right to start off the thing. So it's a good mix, Joe. There's still the young core, but some real hardcore, tough-minded, defensive-minded veterans. This is going to be an excellent defensive team. And I think some of the the two biggest questions are probably, will the depth hold up and will you score enough? I think the defense is going to help them score, off stops and in transition.
Eric, speaking of scoring, Tyler Herro's an interesting one. He just openly says, I'm on a mission. Looked like he worked his butt off this offseason. Just your thoughts on he just opened about, like, looking, man, I'm out to show people how friggin' good I am and stop talking about some of these other guys in my draft class. What have you seen from him in preseason?
Renewed confidence, more strength, a mid-range game that he can really trust and count on. People got to guard him out at the three-point arc, and he's good with the dribble. And you saw how many sort of those mid-range floaters he was able to make. So he's becoming a better and better offensive player. I think his added strength, same for Duncan Robinson, going to help both of them a little bit more on the defensive end. But, you know, sometimes for a young player, and listen, Tyler is a young player. Here he's starting his third season. He's only 21 years old. So at 19 or 20, you know, he's having all this rookie success, his 37-point game against the Celtics in the conference finals. Sometimes when the success comes too quickly and almost too easily, you tend mentally to take your foot off the pedal. He went through a lot last year, both personally and professionally. Remember, he started early in the season and then, you know, came out of the starting lineup. I don't know if that impacted him or not. But, you know, he did make some improvements in his game last year, Joe, but what people notice most is, you know, the threes that he didn't make.
Right.
And his three-point percentage went down. But so I think he rededicated. He doubled down. He's a gym rat. The game and being an upper echelon player in the game appears to be really important to the kid. And, you know, he's got a chance. Listen, he has embraced the sixth man role right now, and he might not start games, but we saw it last year. I bet he's going to finish a lot of them. And, you know, if you're looking for a team that needs offense, you know, Hero is in a perfect spot to give Miami that off the bench this year. So I'm looking forward to a really fun season from him. He's a crowd favorite for good reason. He's a flamboyant, exciting player who's a lot of fun to watch.
Eric, we know it down here, and we've known it for years, and I think most knowledgeable NBA fans know it too, front office people, everyone, how good of a coach Eric Spoelstra is. I just thought it was funny when I saw a couple of these preseason polls come out that finally gave, oh, yeah, coach of the year this year, it's probably going to be Eric Spoelstra. He's probably the best coach. I mean, he's been one of the best, if not the best coach in the league for like the last 5, 6, 7 years. What he does with guys when you don't think they're going to win and all of a sudden they win or make a run to the finals. I just thought it was funny when all of a sudden I'm seeing all these preseason polls now come out saying, yeah, Eric Spoelstra finally going to get coach of the year this year. It is truly unbelievable.
Zach, I think you just made Tony Fiorentino fall out of bed in Key Biscayne right there.
Right.
Okay, he's been saying it for years.
Right.
And finally, the national media has awoken to the fact that Spo is at the top of his profession. I mean, you know, and then a guy, you know, you want it in your players, right? Very seldom do you hear it talked about with coaches, trying to get better every year. And he always does something to expand his repertoire as a head coach. And what he did this offseason, which was so meaningful to him and to Team USA, he coached the USA select team that Tyler Hero was a part of, that practiced against Team USA that went on to win the gold medal, coached by Greg Popovich. Bam was on that team. But just being around the Olympic effort, being around Greg Popovich and all those great coaches and great players. You heard, I don't know if you saw our preseason telecast, but Coach Popovich talked about the important role that Spo played behind the scenes, not only in getting the select team ready to compete against Team USA, but just behind the scenes and in coaches' meetings and in meetings to get ready for the next practice. He was really instrumental in that. So it helped Bam a lot to be around that kind of greatness. It helped Spo a lot as well. So he is one of the best coaches in professional basketball, and the Heat is very fortunate to have him.
It's amazing. An organization that's well run.
Right. Again, what's that like?
It's beautiful.
Right. Yeah.
It's nice to talk
it's
about.
It's hard to find,
it
Joe.
It really is.
Just like businesses. I mean, there's a lot of businesses out there, right? How many of them are run, you know, in a great way? And the thing, listen, I've worked for the Heat since the beginning in the 88-89 season. You know, we've talked about it a lot. It is not a cliche. It is not just a line you throw out there. But the leadership, you know, the ownership of the Arison family, the leadership of Pat Riley, and the unbelievable basketball staff they have, you know, Andy Ellisberg, Nick Arison,
right.
Adam Simon, Chet Kammer, all the behind-the-scenes people, too many to mention right now. You know, it's so well run. Same on for the business side under Eric Woolworth and Michael McCullough. There's great pride and professionalism. And what I appreciate, and I think what the fans of, you know, the Heat appreciate all these years under Pat Riley and Mickey Arison, there's never a throwaway season. There is never, okay, we're going to rebuild and reboot. They try
right.
to get the maximum out of every season. They're always trying to be a contending, competitive, championship-seeking team. And you got that's what sports is all about. You know, these guys with the five-year plans, I mean, that's you're trying to buy time for yourself, and it seldom works. Things change each year.
That's correct, by the way. That is 100% correct.
Competitive team
yeah.
for your fan base and for your franchise each year. And under Pat, you know, 27 years, that's what Miami has done.
No question. All well said there. Eric, hey, man, great having you back, buddy.
Awesome.
Really
all
is
right.
great.
Joe,
appreciate you coming
Joe
up.
Joe and Zach, it's great to be back. I just want to remind you and all the viewers out there tonight, an hour of power beginning at 7 on Bally Sports, a one-hour season opening pregame show. There's going to be a lot of good stuff in there, including, you know, you love hearing from Pat Riley. Everybody heard the press conference. Nobody has heard Jax's sit-down with him. That'll air in a two-part series tonight in the pregame. And guess who's coming back? the longtime radio voice of the Heat, Mike Inglis, who retired about a month before the season started, is going to make a curtain call tonight. He'll be on our pregame show on TV, and he's also going to sit in with the Heat radio experience crew and Jackson, all those guys on the radio broadcast tonight. So it all starts at 7.
Awesome.
A great opener against the team that I think is still the best in the NBA, Joe and Zach.
Boy, they looked good the other night.
Made Brooklyn looked look poor Tuesday night to open the season, and that was without three rotation players and without Drew Holiday for the second half, and they still won easily by 23. It's a very good team Miami will measure itself against tonight.
But Eric, we got PJ Tucker. I'm not worried.
Yeah,
there we go.
Hey, by the way, no drama either, man. No heat drama.
No,
drama free. Eric, thank you, buddy.
Joe, listen, just call each game. You can't fix it. You just got to report on it and
breathe.
I don't know.
Breathe.
Suffer with them, not at them.
Right. Breathe, Joe. Breathe.
I'm not very good at that. I told Pat Riley that, actually. Pat said, Joe, you never work for me. I said, I understand. All right, man. Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
Appreciate
you,
buddy.
Always enjoy being with you and enjoy listening as well.
All right. Eric Reed joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Take a deep breath, Joe. That's it. Eric did a little therapy at the end there, and that was really nice of him. I'm glad he did that. Only one criticism of Eric, and I got to talk to him next time. On a day when we're talking and have to start the show with all the quarterback stuff, can't use that quarterback analogy 50 times in the Heat thing. It scares me a little bit. I need a quarterback down here also. All right, let me tell you about – oh, by the way, first off, before we get to everything, we do have a Dolphins game coming up here over the weekend, Dolphins and Falcons, and we have an injury report that came out. It's brought to you by the University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute. Experts treat all athletes of all levels. They are elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. So the injury report came out. I'm going to have to take a deep breath before I even get to that at that point because it is a huge injury report this morning, and it just went totally blank on my screen right now. So hold on one second. There we go. Limited in practice on Wednesday. You ready? Jacoby Brissett, Malcolm Brown, Xavien Howard, Austin Jackson, John Jenkins, Brandon Jones, Byron Jones, Greg Mantz, Devontae Parker, Jalen Phillips, Tua, and Preston Williams. Those were all limited in practice yesterday. That was your injury report brought to you by the University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. It's that Miami Dolphins-Falcons game coming up on Sunday. Let me also tell you about my friends at Diamonds Direct and the great people there. Talking about good people around you, having good staff, having good people from the top down. Diamonds Direct has that. That's one of the best things about Diamonds Direct. They're not retail clerks. They're not, this guy. No, they're true diamond experts. Years of experience, tons of knowledge. That's how Diamonds Direct does it. They put people in place that know what they're talking about. They're never pushy. They're always listening to you, and they're always motivated by one thing, to make you, the customer, happy. Right. At Diamonds Direct, there's no company like Policy Handbook on how to handle customers. Oh, make sure they walk out and they buy this. No. Each associate is empowered to do whatever they need to do to make you a fan of Diamonds Direct and walk out with a huge smile. And they have every tool available to do that. Listen to this. First off, I tell you all the time about that diamond inventory they have there. So many choices and every cut and clarity, all diamond shapes, all diamond sizes. How about over 4,000 rings they have there too from all the top designers? How about a free lifetime warranty on every purchase and 110% diamond upgrade guarantee? Yes, that's the things they have. Oh, by the way, most aggressive financing options in the industry too, so you can make that dream come true for that loved one in your life. Diamonds Direct, total package, best value, best selection, best warranties, best quality, and the most amazing people. There really is no other store like it in South Florida or probably around the whole country at this point. Diamonds Direct in Boca behind the Town Center Mall. Like I always tell you, Diamonds Direct, you're going to love it.
Well, is this stuff starting to come out about Deshaun Watson and whether this trade's going to take place or not? And obviously, there's been talk about it. Picked back up yesterday. Everybody's got an opinion about it. Louis Riddick from ESPN. Here's some of his comments from this morning that he had on their shows.
Is again linked to a potential trade with Miami. So what makes more sense, acquiring Watson or keeping Tua?
I don't see how right now it makes any sense for the acquiring team or as an acquiring team to go ahead and negotiate a trade for a player who you have no idea when he's going to be available. You have none. That just seems grossly irresponsible to me. You know, on the point, since we're talking about Miami in particular, as far as Tua is concerned, look, I don't know how you pull the plug on a player right now that when you compare him, let's just say, to a guy like Justin Herbert, the situations have been totally different. And if we look at that, you know, in its totality, look, number one, then healthy, Tua has not been healthy. You look at Herbert's situation, he had great mentors in the early part of his career last year and guys like Pep Hamilton, and then this year and guys like Brandon Staley and new offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi. These are all people who helped him continue to develop and turn into the player that he has been. And then on top of it, a guy like Herbert has had great weapons and guys like Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. Tua has had none of that. He hasn't had the help. He hasn't had the mentors. He hasn't been in the same kind of offensive system that would lead to him having the kind of success that that Justin Herbert has had. And so right now, I just don't know how you are able to make a true definitive declaration as to what he is as far as his prospects in the NFL when you haven't really set the table for him. I understand the fascination with Deshaun because of his ability and what he has proven on the field when he's been on the field. But as far as Tua is concerned, he has not been set up for success to this point. And if you are lucky enough to get a hold of a young man like this because Miami does what they want to do at the quarterback position and move opposite of him, I would be definitely looking into doing that and then trying to set the table for this young man, because I feel like though as though the deck has been stacked against him. Some of it has been in Miami's control. Some of it has not.
Wow.
How about that?
There's a guy that's fired up. By the way, you can't really disagree with anything that he's said, talking about the offensive line, basically. Receivers always injured, and they were injured last year at the end of the year and to start the year. It looked like camp in a situation where hasn't had good weapons around him, the coaching. And so I think most people would agree. Tua, and the injury thing you can't control. That's on Tua. He's not getting hurt on purpose.
The only thing last year I think he did have, even though it wasn't a coach, was the little mentor thing that Lewis threw in there with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Had a great one.
Yeah, I all his other points I actually agree on, a lot of it. I just think with that, Ryan Fitzpatrick was probably the best thing to happen to Tua last year, not Chan Gailey. I think it really was the fact that he get to sit with Ryan, whether he was playing or on the bench, and when Ryan would come off the field, and you'd be able to see that. I didn't necessarily like the swapping in and out at the end of games, but mentor-wise. But everything else, Joe, Lewis really hit it on the head. Like, I mean,
they have set him up for failure. I mean, there's no question. The injury-prone thing is silly. I mean, the guy, they broke his ribs. Like, that would happen to anyone.
But also injury-prone for weapons. Like, look at the guys he's had around him and how many guys have been consistently on the field with him as much as he has, and there's not.
When your guys, you know, we can't sit and say how good they are if they're injured. You're right. You can't. Those guys don't play. They weren't there for camp. I mean, the same three guys, I know we've said it over and over again, the same three guys that didn't play in the last game, the same three guys that stood next to each other for more than a month
right.
in camp, sat over there by Dan Marino, stood up there. Nat was on one side, Dan was on the other. I'm sure they were saying, hey, you guys ever going to practice? Mm. Or are you just going to hang out here till the season starts?
Right. Oh, we'll be fine. Well, once they get all together in the beginning.
And hurt again.
Right.
And hurt again. So,
what do you make of the beginning thing that he said, by the way, about it being grossly irresponsible to trade for Watson? I've been on that for a long time, but here's, like, he's right, though, because you have, first of all, you have no idea if this guy's going to play. What are you going to do? You going to put a do-over clause in the trade? If he goes to jail, if he gets suspended, like, we're just going to cancel the trade, like, do it all over?
The unknown, how does that work? is scary. You great, you got Deshaun Watson. When can he play? When does this stuff get settled?
And I don't think the Texans are going to want to put a clause in there with these draft picks if you do trade for him that says
is that
if
even
he
a real thing?
Play, well, I mean, that's something that like, no, but that's been something that's been talked about.
Is there such thing as a do-over clause in a trade?
No, but that's been something that's been talked about. I saw in articles even Armando wrote and everyone's wrote where it's the fact that they're not going to want to put a clause in there, not to give back picks, but just not to have them like that. And there's no way Houston's going to say yes to that.
And what about, by the way, if he gets to play the rest of this season and this all happens in the next offseason?
Right,
that could happen. That could happen.
Something's going to happen eventually, right?
It seems like yes.
I mean, there's no way a guy can have this many things against him and just have nothing happen.
Taking him right now with the unknown is, listen, this whole thing is just on top of how bad the Dolphins have played in the first 5 weeks and evaluating why it's happened with all these draft picks that I don't know how good they're going to be, most of them. I guess, you know, Waddle's going to be fine. Got to get him averaging more than 8 yards a carry, but he's, you know, he's he can play. But, boy, we got a lot of guys unknown. And that 2020, if you trade Tua Tagovailoa, that 2020 first-round draft of three guys, first time in history, God. That thing's really close to Whiff City. That's just strike one, strike two, strike three. Never take the bat off your shoulder. Bad. So I'm really curious to see. And by the way, just
you
how
think he gets suspended, right?
Yeah, well, he gets suspended for sure.
Right.
How long do you think it'll be?
I mean, we've seen
guys get suspended for weed.
We've never had anything like this.
This is unprecedented, though.
The league suspends people for everything. Like this has to result in a suspension.
I have
it?
To think that. It's
Although the
be...
Richard Sherman thing is weird,
right?
Like, what happened with that?
Kind of just blew over.
Like, are they hoping people forget?
Because
that's kind of what happened with Richard Sherman.
Only
like,
time everybody's going to forget when he's throwing for about 300, 290 a game. And by the way, hopefully, if he is here, he gets better weapons and better offensive line around him, too. That by the way, good stuff, though. I agree, too. It just hasn't been given the best opportunity to be successful coming back, or even when he got hurt. Just a rough one. We got to go to break here. We're running a little bit late here this morning. John McClain is going to join us, guy that broke the big story yesterday from Houston, from the Houston Chronicle. He's going to join us at 9 o'clock, so that's coming up. We'll jump back. We apologize. Our text machine is down. So
of course
if you've been
it's down today, right.
Trying to
of course,
send stuff right. up, trying to send us stuff, we apologize. It's even it doesn't work. We have a lot of things not working around here.
That's not related to us, though. That's like a separate,
no, thank God it's not anything.
Oh, it's separate.
Thing. Hollywood didn't break anything, so
okay, that's good.
I thought Joe was so fired up this morning that it just broke the machine, but maybe so many people trying to send in all at once.
Yeah,
maybe we crashed it.
We got to go to break, though. We'll be right back.
We got Thursday Night Football tonight, Joe, for the new week of the NFL season. That means we got fantasy football tonight as well. We have Fantasy Football Report to you, brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at titosvodka.com. We have Cleveland tonight, Joe, and Cleveland about as banged up as an offense as you'll see around the NFL right now. Quarterback Baker Mayfield out, Nick Chubb out, Kareem Hunt on the IR. Jarvis Landry, by the way, could be activated tonight from the IR, and Odell Beckham is questionable. Case Keenum will be starting for the Cleveland Browns tonight. So if you're looking for a quick pickup in fantasy football this week, Case Keenum could be an option for you at quarterback.
Who does he have to throw to against that Denver defense?
It'll be hopefully Jarvis Landry if he could come back a little bit tonight. But that might be one of the only options he has.
Maybe targeting old Jarvis a lot tonight, huh?
Jarvis could have one of those old Dolphin games where he has about 14 catches for 18 yards. It could be a really good performance.
14 for like 100. Come on. 14 for 100, 14 for 90, right. 12 for 90, and all those crazy.
Couple
things.
Other guys, by the way, also on the pickups for this week. It's funny too because I could have given these names to you about 7 years ago, and you would have said, "Wow, these are top guys in the NFL." Devonta Freeman, he's a guy to maybe pick up this week. Le'Veon Bell got a couple carries last week. There's a lot of guys, the old guys, making their way back in Baltimore. Fantasy Football Reports every week here on the show, also brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at titosvodka.com.
All right, John McClain is going to join us from Houston. We'll talk to one of their top writers from the Chronicle who's been covering the Houston Texans for a long, long time. And we'll talk to him a little bit about what he expects and maybe get some more details on the stuff that broke yesterday. And then Duncan Robinson is also expected to join us in the 9 o'clock hour on the top three-point shooters and got bigger, working on some other parts besides just being one of the great three-point shooters in the NBA. They get ready to open up tonight. Going to be fun. It is. I mean, you got something to look forward to tonight. With everything, I'm going, yeah, this – I think everybody wants to see. You got, and you're playing against – it's a great first test against Milwaukee. And the way things ended for the Heat last year, which everybody's talked about, and now getting to see how this team looks in the first of 82 games.
That's right.
You know, we spoke to a bunch of players at Media Day a couple weeks ago. Zach and I were out there, and they – you know, we asked them about the wall that they kind of hit last year, and I think a lot of the guys admitted to that. Like they were fatigued last season, and
from the late year from before,
yeah,
the short off
from
season.
Late year, and like even Jimmy was like, you know, yeah, just being around these guys this that much, and it just got to be a little bit of a grind, and it really did felt like they hit a wall last year, but it also sounded like all these guys are ready to go this year, and
just
everyone's
getting back
healthy,
to,
and you got some time off. Right. You know, you do need time off, right? Like you got to get away from it a little bit. And I don't think the Heat did that last season.
Didn't really have the opportunity.
That's what played into that.
So
whole
why we're
thing.
Why we're saying now, I get great respect for LeBron, who plays an extra 2 months every year.
right. Every single.
It is,
year,
but
right.
Yeah, it's been a screwy couple of years, and like.
But they got the games in, and they got the seasons in.
No, but what I was going to say is. The teams that didn't make the playoffs, look at the extra months
right.
they got off compared to the Lakers and the Heat playing each other. Like, some of those guys been on vacation. Think about that. Some of the teams didn't get invited even to come to try to get in, like Phoenix did, where they played great and they still weren't good enough to get into the playoff thing. So
I was watching on the NBA show last night a little bit, one of the pregames, and they talked about Golden State, you know, getting Klay Thompson back probably by Christmas, you know, around that time. Do you know what it'll be? I think they have the exact number, and I'm going to be closer off by a little bit. Be over 1,000 days between the last game he really played and this comeback game for Klay Thompson. That's a long time.
That was random. Where'd you go with Klay Thompson on?
Because
there?
We were talking about
just
guys.
Time
to,
off.
Because Golden State was one of those teams. That weren't in the bubble.
Oh, listen,
had
I thought
all that
were,
time off.
I thought you were
right.
doing that for me right there with my.
I was more concerned if he was going to tell me who was doing the ESPN show. Did they ever figure that out?
I saw who was there last night, and it was Greeny, who's hosting it now.
Greeny's just going to do everything pretty soon.
Right, it's going to be ESPN Greeny. So,
Greeny,
right?
Greeny, they like stability. Put Greeny out there.
Will Bond, Jalen Rose.
He can talk about the Jets and then go right to the NBA.
Right. They talk about the Knicks a little bit too.
Is Rachel still around?
I did not see. No,
that's not funny.
I did not see Rachel.
I'm being serious.
No, that
I
was mean.
She's still there.
A little
no.
mean-hearted.
She is still there.
I think she's gone.
I don't think she's there.
When was the last time you saw her do something?
Yeah.
I try to avoid ESPN pregame shows if possible.
Stephen A. Smith, too. That's who was there also. I was trying to think.
Stephen A.
Another guy does everything.
It could be ESPN really Greeny or ESPN Stephen A.
By the way, they were going to break.
Oh, Greeny didn't realize it, right? Or someone didn't
no.
realize it.
He got me again. No, so Jay Will, during the show, they were going at it again yesterday. He said, hey, can you stay around? This really good, but we got to go to break. Stephen A. tried to joke around. Jay Will was pissed.
Really?
The debate had gone a little bit. It's never a fair debate when Stephen A's on because it's his show. And so I can just tell that Jay Will's just not having it. And just look, going to break. He just looked like, oh, you can stay around for another one. Yeah, I have to. But it was just.
Can you imagine that there is actually a human being that works in an office at ESPN that thinks Jay Will is good at what he does?
Why are you? Where'd
he
that come
is.
From?
I mean, because he's utterly atrocious. But like, I just there's
utterly
someone
atrocious.
There's someone sitting at ESPN that high up that thinks that Jay Will is worth putting on television because people care what he has to say about anything.
Wow,
I don't even know how to respond to that.
You think he's that bad?
Utterly.
I think
atrocious.
He's going to challenge Chris Webber for worst analyst in the game now that Chris is gone.
You know, we should just do – we're going to do an hour one day, so he can just rip all the guys that are in TV and radio that how bad they are.
You should literally be like the national, like, Barry Jackson media guy who just, like, kind of critiques all the people on TV and everything. Just,
well, ESPN's made a few missteps over
you
the
like
years.
A-Rod or no?
I think the A-Rod stuff is kind of funny. They stick him out in Boston.
Well, you like him or not? That was the question.
He's fine.
Okay.
You know, the limited baseball I watch.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that part. God, how do I dare
you
ask?
Any more to throw out
how
there?
Dare do I ask about
this.
A sport that he just doesn't like or follow? God, that's just – except he does throw in updates in there, so we do appreciate that while he's doing that. So anyway, yeah, we got a lot more coming up here. We're just a few minutes away. John McClain is going to join us. Nice enough to get up this morning, and Duncan Robinson is expected to join us in the 9 o'clock hour here before I'm guessing a little shoot-around this morning.
Hey, A-Rod, what's your favorite Ben Affleck movie?
This is the problem of putting your business out there.
Right. Of 100%.
And nobody put their business out there like A-Rod and J-Lo.
Right. They're on Instagram every single day, social media.
You're my best friend, and you're my lover. You're my soulmate. Right. And I'm like, how the hell long is this going to last?
Now she's out shopping with Ben.
Might want to leave that stuff private. By the way, that was the quickest rebound of all time. J-Lo literally found out one day, and it was over, and the next day Ben's got her in, like, Montana having sex with. I mean, it just happened so
looking
damn fast.
Looking for houses together.
A-Rod's like, really?
How do you like them apples thing is pretty good.
It was good. No, there's a lot of good stuff.
Well, I'm from his movie. That's
just the
strong
fact that he's in the background and they're doing the J-Lo chant, or someone asked him what his best – Ben Affleck movie, favorite.
You think A-Rod's over J-Lo? You two relationship guys?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. I'm going to say no.
I'm sure he's doing fine for himself.
I'm sure he's rebounded okay as well. But, I mean, she got that rebound like she was Dennis Rodman off the boards, man. That shot went up and she had that rebound right away. Boom. Ben Affleck, how you doing? Let's go out shopping.
I say one thing. And J-Lo seems very nice. Don't get me wrong. That's way too high a maintenance for me.
Look in the mirror?
Wow.
Maybe she's got to look in the mirror?
Whew, man, that's a different one. Hey, we've got a lot more.
If J-Lo came calling, you'd say no.
I would, since I'm married. Absolutely.
Good answer.
Absolutely, I would.
What if your wife would never find out?
Oh man, you with these hypotheticals. Did you go to the brothel? How much money
do
you
have? Why don't we do a make-believe show with you know, Lynn. Lynn's always looking for new ideas when he's here at the station. And you could come up, and you guys could sit, because he talks to you a lot. You guys could come up.
I think you should
brainstorm some new ideas
here. A talk
here
show with Jay Williams and Chris Webber.
Hey,
would you stop?
What do you got for me? Because I'm going to start drinking if I listen to this guy anymore.
I got the perfect answer then. It's Zaffer Rum. You need it. A glass, especially this morning. Maybe the last couple days here, if you're a Dolphins fan or if you're a sports fan down here. But listen, if you're going to pick up a bottle of Zaffer Rum, then you're doing the right thing at least. Because during football season, that's my favorite drink to have when I'm sitting down watching the games. It's basically taking my tailgating and football viewing to the next level. So why don't you do that also? Go pick up a bottle of delicious, delicious Zaffer Rum. And there's two different options for you, by the way, also. The 21-year age bottle or the limited edition 30-year age bottles of Zaffer Rum. Unlike any other rum I've had before, because it's aged in bourbon oak casks. So if you're looking for the upscale and luxurious spirit, you found it in Zaffer Rum, perfectly balanced with a taste of fruit and spice. It's got that elegant aroma because of those bourbon oak casks, and great for top shelf cocktails, sipping it straight up or on the rocks, and also great with your favorite cigar. If you love cigars out there, this is the drink to match with it. Even Cigar Aficionado magazine recommended Zaffer Rum by saying, with the spice and oak barrel flavors, it's a spirit that seems purpose-built for a cigar. They've received so many awards and recognitions. So if you're going to take that tailgate party to another level, bring a bottle of Zaffer Rum. Let your friends, your family try it, and then they could thank you later, and then you could thank me later after that also. Ask for it at your favorite retailer, restaurant, or bar. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram, social media friendly, at Zaffer Rum, that's Z-A-F-R-A. Zaffer Rum reminds you to always drink responsibly. And remember, there is no rum without Zaffer.